The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you on the way to the best health? Or are you doing a 180? In order to live longer and better, you need to be aware of your food, your environment, and your lifestyle. Welcome to the Gillette Nutrition Show with your host, Greg Gillette. You don't need to be part of the statistics that over half of society lives by. It's time to take control. Now, here is your host, Greg Gillette.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Gillette Nutrition Show here on Voice America. It's a great day today here in Oregon. Hope you're having a great day too. Today I'm going to talk about some sports nutrition stuff. I'm also have a guest on the show. Her name is Tracy Oliveto. So we're going to talk about yoga, but also, and many people don't know about what is called yoga therapy. And Tracy's going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. My website's GilletteNutrition.com. I'm a nutritionist, herbalist, and a health coach. And more I help people achieve their greatest health, I look to myself more as a health coach than anything, because that's truly what I'm doing. I'm coaching people and giving them the skills and the knowledge to lead healthy, vibrant, and energized lives. And if you look at my website, I have... on every page it says achieve awesome and amazing health. And that's what I give my clients. I truly want to give them awesome and amazing health so they can live a vibrant life for many years to come. And nutrition is the best prevention and cure for illness and disease. And it's not the only thing to do to help your body feel great. And that's why I'd like to talk about other things, supplements, herbs, and have guests on the show from time to time. And my guest today is Tracy Oliveto. Tracy, are you welcome to the Gillette Nutrition Show?
Hey, Greg. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Fantastic. Yeah, Tracy's been on the show before on another broadcast I do. And I've known Tracy for almost 20 years. Kind of hard to believe that. And Tracy's a great person, a great friend. And she's helped me with my health. I've helped her with her health. And she's been in the fitness field. She's been helped people with nutrition. But her passion is yoga and also yoga therapy. So let's just dig right in. Let's just start currently. What are you doing? I know you're doing yoga, but how do you fit in yoga? And what sets you apart? Because I do think you are set apart from a lot of yoga studios out there. And then what's the yoga therapy aspect of things and how that can help people? I know it's a lot to throw at you right now, but take it away for a few minutes and see what we got.
Well, this is the thing I'm talking about the most lately, recently being the last 3 to 5 years. That question comes up a lot because there is so much yoga out there now. As difficult as it is to believe or remember, even as briefly as 10 years ago, there were very few yoga studios in many areas of the United States. As everything else, they became somewhat popular in the big cities first. But where I am here in the North Carolina Triangle, which is Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill, and I consider us a moderately sized city, 10 years ago, there was very little yoga. I've been doing yoga for 20 years and teaching for 17. So when I started, I felt very fortunate to find someone who had a lot of background, very unusual these days for a teacher to have more than 10 years experience and learning. There's probably, I heard a statistic that really surprised me that there's only about 10% of the yoga teachers in the U.S. that have a history of more than 10 years or more than a decade. So I was lucky back then to find someone like that. And the yoga that I started with was one of the traditional ancient methods of yoga. Iyengar yoga, as they call it. BKS Iyengar was the teacher guru that was introduced this to the United States.
Okay, interesting.
Probably back in the 50s. And so as you can tell, it's taken a while for things to really catch on. And I was really happy that I didn't know that there really was any other yoga at that point. I thought, well, this is yoga, because it's a very rigorous and disciplined, strictly disciplined method, as many of the authentic traditional styles are. So I really had a good base of learning, and it really did set me on a path that I just couldn't turn back from. I mean, when you're exposed to something that is that inclusive, it really does reach you in really amazing ways. But that said, I believe that all yoga is good yoga. I'm thrilled that there is so much yoga available to every kind of person, personality, every fitness level. It's really exciting. But it does mean that I have to work a little harder to set my work apart from things that are newer.
Yeah, I bet. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I used to live in Denver, Colorado. I live in Oregon now, and there's yoga all over the place. And I remember you came out one time and visited, and you were amazed at all the different yoga practices. And you did go to a couple and visited. But I do like what you said, that all yoga is good. However, I do really respect your approach to yoga, and it's, I don't know if the word's authentic. I don't want to beat down the other yoga therapies, but
right.
I do think your method is more healing, more authentic, and it's tougher. Maybe nutrition's tough. Maybe a lot of people don't want to take the extra steps, but go ahead. I do think you're set apart from a lot of the ones that have popped up lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. Authentic isn't necessarily a right word. I guess it would be traditional, you know, something that has come from a few thousand years ago and maintained its roots, maintained its style and how it's taught. So as I moved into Ashtanga yoga after about 7 years of studying Iyengar work, I found a really nice complement. The same kind of traditional practice that was going on at the same time, and even was introduced to the United States at the same time. And like you said, these practices encompass so many things. Ashtanga means the eight limbs of yoga, and so it's really a pathway through the body into things that are more based in our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, and also how we are in the world, what we have to offer as householders. Ashtanga was a practice that was actually designed, so to speak, for householders, that meaning that even back then, it was considered a royal practice. The renunciates had, you know, 10 hours a day to devote to not just asana, but breath work and energy work and mantra and prayer. And so Ashtanga was designed for householders whose real purpose and contribution to their community was having families and having children and holding a job and or doing work that kept the community going. So it's interesting to even think of it that way.
Yeah, a little history of it. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so this practice was something, but then it was also realized that householders benefited greatly from a yoga practice. So this was something where they could bring in all those elements of the eight limbs, focus and concentration and meditation and breath work, and mantra or chanting, and make it into a 2-hour practice. So,
oh, wow.
It's something that's really efficient yet really effective. It's really challenging yet very safe and user-friendly. So it's one of the few yoga styles around the U.S. that still includes those tools of the breath and using energy locks in the body. And that might seem like it's something that reaches a little too far in to something that's esoteric, but it's actually a very practical application of those things in Ashtanga.
Okay.
And it really does change what's happening in an asana.
Now, so you said it was 2 hours, so are your classes 2 hours? I know a lot of people are busy, and I teach people to, you know, whip up quick, healthy foods, because people on the go a lot of times, so when your class currently, is it a 2-hour class, or is it, do you have a shorter amount of time for some people because of their busy schedules?
Right. So it's been pared down just for practical reasons. And most of the studios teach classes that are 90 minutes, but
okay.
Then there's offered a self-practice time, which is always 2 hours is always allowed for that. And because people do set their own pace, even though everyone's doing the same sequence, we might be doing it in different at a different pace and a different rhythm in our bodies. We might be working with limitations or injuries or things that we need to slow down and use modifications or props. And so in general, it is a 2-hour practice, but it's so efficient that I've been able to, and all teachers I know have been able to, pare it down to some 90 minutes of work
okay.
and not lose the essence of it.
Gotcha. Very nice. So you're currently doing that there in Chapel Hill, Carrboro area?
Yes, I am. I'm teaching group classes, and I'm also at 2 different studios, one in Durham and one in Chapel Hill. What my favorite thing to do is, though, especially with this particular method, is, and I've done this for years now and just seen the difference in how it affects students, new and experienced, and how they can bring it into their life. Is what I call, sometimes I'll call it an intensive or an immersion. Mm-hmm. And it could be anywhere from 6 weeks to 9 months. I'm just coming up on doing an intensive in Durham that will last 6 weeks. It will be a total of 50 hours
of
work. And it includes not just asana work, but work with discussion around theory and philosophy of yoga.
Oh, that's pretty nice. Interesting. A lot of people don't know the history of yoga. It goes pretty far back.
Yeah. I think it's to help. I've always been a person, even in my fitness life, in health clubs and nutrition work, I've always wanted to know why. Why, not just how, but why. And I find that really motivating to understand.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the body, and not just what to do, but why we're doing it in the details. So I try to offer some of that because there are some big ahas in learning about just what's going on. Someone asked me yesterday why they should do yoga if they already were running and going to the gym and lifting weights and stretching.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be as succinct as possible because I could talk for 2 hours about it, but
yeah.
I thought, well, okay, how can I really sum this up? And how can I sum it up for myself even? And I realized that I could offer 4 pretty practical and easy to understand, but probably surprising for some people, reasons why you should include yoga in your routines and daily practices for health. And number one is the spine. And even if we're running, or playing tennis or hiking or dancing or all those things, actually I do all of those things. So I never wanted to give them up, but the spine does suffer from any kind of sports.
Oh yeah. I'm the same. I dance and lift weights. Yeah. Hike, snowboard, yeah, and sometimes you have injuries, especially snowboarding. Or even running, you could trip and fall, but yeah.
Even if you're lucky enough to not have injuries, what's happening in the spine is gravity's at work, and gravity and impact and just being upright, there's compression of the spine over years, and
exactly.
We can't avoid it unless you add something that can counter what's going on in the body. And even just as we walk around, if we aren't people who jog or do sports, there's always, always compression. That's why people...
Oh, yeah. People that sit in an office all day long.
Mm-hmm. So yoga has the components in it that move our bodies so that the spine can stay spacious. In order for a joint to stay healthy, it has to move through its full range of motion.
Okay, that makes sense. Because a lot of activities people do, they're not doing full range.
Not full range. And I see it mostly with the neck, with the feet, and with the hips is where people lose their mobility.
Yeah, I can relate to that because a lot of times I've had neck issues or hip issues, just probably because I'm not using full range of motion. But you've helped me with yoga. I still do a little yoga every day. I'm not doing 2 hours worth, but even the simple poses you showed me years ago, I still remember them and do them. It definitely helps, especially after I lift weights or go running or sprinting afterwards. And I always think afterwards, you're probably the same way, feel better. I mean, I do like a little bit of warm up, but I like to stretch after exercise more, going into more yoga then.
And speaking of stretching, yoga stretching is so much more effective and efficient. And that's, I have, you know, my own testimony to that because I taught aerobics for 10 years and stretched probably 6 times a day since I was teaching full time, 3 classes a day. And I was very inflexible after 10 years. And when I found yoga, I gained more flexibility in 1 year than I did in 10 years of stretching in the fitness way, the runner's stretches and so on. So that's always stuck in my head, that was pretty good proof that yoga does help your bodies resist stretching less.
Okay. We're getting ready to come up on a break. We'll be back in a few minutes to continue to talk to Tracy about yoga and also want to dive into the yoga therapy aspect of things. I think it's Phoenix Rising. So stay tuned for the next part of the Gillette Nutrition Show here on Voice America.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Greg Gillette is a nutritionist, herbalist, and owner of Gillette Nutrition. Visit GilletteNutrition.com. Nutrition is the best prevention and cure for illness and disease. Over 50% of the population has or will have a serious health condition, such as diabetes, heart disease, cancer, allergies, and obesity. You don't want to be part of this unhealthy epidemic. Learn the knowledge and the skills to lead a healthy and vibrant life. Choose the path to health. Contact Gillette Nutrition at 541-414-8396 or at GilletteNutrition.com. Achieve awesome and amazing health. Holy hormones, honey! Every week, this groundbreaking radio show brings you insight about hormone fluctuations, addressing the core biological issues that cause mood disorders, and offers a general support center for women everywhere at any stage in their lives.
Host Leslie Carroll Botha has the passion and drive to help you make informed decisions about your well-being and reclaim your life. Holy Hormones, honey, sponsored by True Hope Incorporated, the leaders in brain health, is broadcast live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Gillette Nutrition Show. To contact us this week, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to greg@gillettenutrition.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, welcome back to the second part of the Gillette Nutrition Show here on Voice America. I've been talking to Tracy Oliveto. She's still here. We're going to talk more about yoga and get into Tracy's private practice of yoga therapy. And we're also going to touch base on some nutrition for athletes. And I've helped Tracy with some nutrition stuff as well. My website again, GilletteNutrition.com. And Tracy, how do people get a hold of you if you're in the greater Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh area and you want to contact Tracy? Do you have a website or email or phone number you want to give out?
Sure. You can contact me through Tao of Change, which is T-A-O. ofchange.com, or you can email me at tracychange@gmail.com.
And Tracy's T-R-A-C-E-Y.
E-Y.
Okay. There we go. Fantastic. So we were talking about, obviously, yoga and helping people with their spine, and is there, and what are some other things that when that person asks you, why should I do yoga, the full range of motion, the spine, and there are a couple other tips, I think, were talking about.
Yeah, the other thing that, and most people don't know this part, so I was kind of excited to share this yesterday and saw some real light bulbs going on, so hopefully someone out there will have the same reaction, is that your organs, that would be my second number two. It's what makes yoga unique from all the other types of activities is that you are actually exercising your organs. So if you think about it, the same thing that happens to your spine, compression, mm-hmm. gravity, happens to your organs over years as the organs literally kind of shift in the body as gravity pulls. And we're always upright, sitting, even when we're laying down to sleep. We're still in a position where there's a lot of, you know, we're pulling in one direction. We're being pulled in one direction energetically.
Mm-hmm.
So yoga is one of the safe ways to change that. There's a lot of emphasis on inversions and vinyasa that takes you in different positions, in twisting, you know, anything that brings your hips up into the air. And then, of course, once you get proficient and you can add headstand or shoulder stand and handstands to your practice, then you're really giving your organs a break from all that gravity, pulling them down into the skeleton, into the lower skeleton. So when you, it's just like with your spine, when you give those organs space, the new blood flow and more oxygen can get to those organs. And when we do twists, it's like we're massaging because the twists compress through the center of the body and compress the organs. And then we unwind that twist in with the working with the breath and in kind of a flowing movement, which sends a big rush of fresh blood and oxygen to those organs. So every time you do your yoga practice, your organs benefit.
Nice.
In a way that they really don't get to otherwise.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I knew that, but I kind of forgot. So thanks for reminding me. That's very, it makes sense. In organs, we're talking all the organs, probably the glands too, I would think. Because, I mean, the adrenal glands sit on the kidneys and you got all the endocrine system. So, in the breath, of course, definitely. Most people don't breathe deep enough during the day. And it's probably because we're so busy, you don't really focus it. But wouldn't that be another aspect? People really work on the breath in yoga. So, that probably transpires into your daily living. You're more conscious of your breath and the way you hold yourself and walk and stuff.
Definitely. The breath is detoxifying. Now, we don't walk around breathing deeply enough to detoxify all day. That would be unhealthy. That would be too much imbalanced. But if you take your 90 minutes or so and you are doing the Ashtanga version of Ujjayi breathing for those 90 minutes without ceasing, that's complete exhales. That's one thing that we don't do much. And, you know, anytime you're igniting the body's ability to detoxify, you want to then be able to expel that. So a complete exhale with every breath for 90 minutes is very detoxifying, you know, besides the sweat process. So that's another really valuable thing that we just don't get. I mean, you couldn't do Ujjayi breath. You wouldn't want to do Ujjayi breath in sports.
Oh, no.
I experimented and tried it anyway before I knew better. But so this is very specific to yoga work, and it is something that we won't get otherwise.
Yeah, that makes sense, because a lot of people, and I'm going to say the word guilty, but you forget. I think people don't breathe out enough, exhale, because to me that's, like you said, getting rid of toxins, but it's also just letting go, and I think it puts you in your parasympathetic system more. A lot of people breathe shallow, or they're holding stuff on too much, so they're breathing in, but they're not fully exhaling, so that would rev up the sympathetic system. Does that make sense to you, just to, if you breathe in but not fully expelling, you're holding on to something?
You're building tension, and there's
tension,
stagnation. Stagnation, and like you said, it's a mental, emotional detriment as well, because you're not really releasing emotions completely.
Exactly, yeah.
If you're holding tension with the breath in the heart space and in the belly space, which is where the energy of emotions, you know, even though thoughts originate in the mind, the energy, energetically, the emotions reside, so to speak, in the belly space and in the heart space. So, and in the pelvic space. So, this kind of work is also just emotionally very beneficial, and something that can really make you healthy in a lot of ways. That's where yoga therapy started, was understanding the mental emotional connections that we have, a mental and emotional body. So in Phoenix Rising yoga therapy, we look at four different bodies. We look at the physical body, and by looking at, I mean we get connected to, we bring our awareness to the practitioner and the client together, work with dialogue, breath, and movement or postures that can bring us more in touch with the physical body. And through that, then bringing our awareness to a mental body, the thoughts. And really being in touch with them is a lot different than just moving through your day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking time and using other tools to get in touch with them is a very different experience than just talking. And then the emotional body, which is of course connected to the mental body, but we look at that as a kind of another piece, a different place where that energy lives. And then the spiritual body, which is something that may sound esoteric, But however you look at that, there is a a component that is comes doesn't have to be a higher entity, but a higher self, a higher consciousness.
Yeah, that's what I like to use that word too.
Yeah. So we look at all of that.
Yeah. So when a client, for a private client, have you gotten some from your regular yoga classes, or do some people just reach out to you? Like, what kind of issues are you helping people when you privately with yoga therapy? And what's a session like? Other than talking to them, are you getting them moving and getting them into yoga poses? How does that work?
That's the question I get most often about Phoenix Rising is just what is it like.
Yeah.
Happy to explain that. Is it? But to answer your first question, I do get most of my clients from my yoga asana work, from teaching classes and private lessons in movement. So, but what that really tells me and confirms for me is that the physical work leads you to the mental emotional work. In every case, there's usually a point. Someone's joined class or someone's started with some lessons, and there'll be a point. And it's for some people, depending on how often they practice, if they practice every day or come to class more often, it's going to happen sooner. I've noticed over these couple decades, it's pretty consistent. If it's once a week, it's going to happen later, but it's going to happen that I suddenly get those questions. Like, I'm starting to feel emotional after my practice.
Yeah,
I'm feeling sad and I don't know why.
Okay.
Or I'm feeling like laughing and I don't know why. Or I started to think about my childhood, or I started to think in there, and they're confused, and but yet their interest is piqued in like what's really going on. So that's where yoga therapy steps in. And at that point, I will meet with a client as a consultation first.
Okay.
And just ask what brought them there, what has piqued their interest. And then when they come in for a session, we start with a history, just like you would in most counselors' offices. It's kind of a background of, you know, brief description of your lifestyle, including how you eat, what your job is, what is your community relationship situation previously and currently, and whatever other information people want to offer. None of that's mandatory. You can speak as little about your life or as much as you feel called to.
Okay.
It does not affect, change the effectiveness of the therapy, I've found. But sometimes it's beneficial for people that want to tell their story, and other people have done enough of that, and they just want to kind of dive into the meditative work. So,
yeah, that makes sense, what you just said about, because I've helped people too nutritionally, and a lot of times emotional stuff comes up, and for myself, everyone's had emotional. And sometimes if you feel like you've said it enough, you just want to go right into the help part. Because like you said, some people want to tell their story. Others have told it enough, and there's no point in telling it again.
Right. I came into yoga therapy. You know, one of the many prerequisites was that we had to have sessions with a yoga therapist.
That makes sense.
Several before applying to the program, and I had been doing some talk therapy just, you know, for your average everyday things for a couple years, and I felt like I am restating and redescribing everything over and over again. And something, though it felt helpful when I would leave for a few hours or even a few days, I would sort of start over each time. Now, I don't think that I didn't get something from that, but I just reached a point in my work, in my dialoguing work, where I needed a different pathway, different pathway to get to my thoughts and feelings. So even though this yoga therapy, the Phoenix Rising method, does include dialogue. In fact, mm-hmm. it's really based around dialogue, quite emphatically. It's a different type of dialoguing, and we use yoga techniques in order to bring that dialogue into a place that is often more revealing, just because it's more truthful. We're helping people get underneath the layers of the mind, the monkey mind that has an agenda and has a lot of rationalization going on and projection and reasoning, and getting underneath that is often really helpful. And we use techniques like breath, we'll direct with breath, and mm-hmm. then use yoga-like postures. I wouldn't compare it to yoga class posture at all.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah, you're not. It's really just a position of the body that mm-hmm. that puts some energetic emphasis on one of the energy centers.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. Because mm-hmm. it's all connected, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, and by moving or making those subtle body changes like you talk about can, I think, bring about a different aspect. Because so often you go to counseling, you just sit there, or maybe people still lay on the couch, shouldn't talk to the counselor. But I think what you're talking about is probably more beneficial because you're actually engaging the body more.
Right, right. And emotions live in the body, and different emotions get blocked or stuck, and energies. Sometimes there's anger that has been hidden away, or sadness, or mm-hmm. even happiness. It's the therapy work can be challenging emotionally, but what I found most of all is people have a great sense of relief mm-hmm. because things are being released.
Yeah.
And in so many cases, it's like, I knew that was there, I just didn't know how to get to it.
Oh, interesting.
Or I had no idea that I had that. And I've been looking for it for so long, I had no idea it was there, and now it's unblocked. Sometimes this can happen in one session. Sometimes it happens in 10. I've had clients that I've seen 3 times. I've had clients that I've seen for 10 years.
Wow,
And it's, but overall, I would say in my experience, it's much more efficient than most talk therapies. There's never a come back next week for the next 3 months kind of protocol.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Very open-ended.
Nice.
Some people get what, it's kind of like a yoga practice is. You give someone a yoga practice, do this much, go home, do these 5 postures, and then when you're ready for more, you come back. So a lot gets released on a level that shows up, so it will come out either in mm-hmm. through the body, but it will come out as maybe an answer to a question, a problem, an action they want to take towards an issue they've been working on, and then that can carry them through for weeks or months.
That's great.
The next block shows up.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Tracy, we're coming up on a commercial break again, so hold tight. We'll be back for the Gillette Nutrition Show, talking with Tracy Oliveto for the third segment in a few minutes. So hold on tight. We'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Greg Gillette is a nutritionist, herbalist, and owner of Gillette Nutrition. Visit GilletteNutrition.com. Nutrition is the best prevention and cure for illness and disease. Over 50% of the population has or will have a serious health condition, such as diabetes, heart disease, cancer, allergies, and obesity.
You don't want to be part of this unhealthy epidemic. Learn the knowledge and the skills to lead a healthy and vibrant life. Choose the path to health. Contact Gillette Nutrition at 541-414-8396 or at GilletteNutrition.com. Achieve awesome and amazing health.
Are you ready to laugh and learn as you get the info that will get you fit? Small steps can lead to big changes once you're headed in the right direction. Join the dynamic twin sister and exercise expert team of Alexandra Williams and Kimberly Williams-Evans on Active Aging for Boom Chicka Boomers. K&A bring you top-level guests who offer active aging advice and practical tips you can use today. Enjoy the second phase of life with vitality, brain power, and energy. Active Aging for Boom Chicka Boomers airs live Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Gillette Nutrition Show. To contact us this week, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to greg@gillettenutrition.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the third segment of the Gillette Nutrition Show here on Voice America. I've been talking with Tracy Oliveto about yoga and then yoga therapy. So we're going to talk a little bit more about yoga therapy and then dive into some nutritional stuff for athletes. So Tracy, the yoga therapy, what sets that apart, you think, from a lot of traditional therapies out there?
I think the main thing is the facilitation is different in that there is no diagnosis, there is no advice or opinions offered by the therapist. The therapist is there as a witness and as a guide, but it's a very client-centered type of work. In fact, it actually comes from the theories of Carl Rogers, which was one of the first client-centered type of therapies that followed the Freudian work.
Okay.
That way back when. So it's considered that the answers do live in the body and that they can be brought forth by unblocking energies that have stagnated or been blocked from childhood trauma. And when I say trauma, it doesn't mean something huge. And I think that's the surprise for people is that if we look at our life or our childhood and we say, well, nothing that, really that bad or big happened to me. So I guess, I can't really be having this issue.
Yeah.
For any reason besides just my current incompetence. A lot of us get so judgmental about that.
Oh, yeah.
But, some of the things are really pretty subtle and covert that happened to all of us in childhood doesn't mean we had horrible parents but things do happen and accidents do happen. So physical trauma can cause blocks in the body as well as emotional trauma from even the smallest amount of neglect or criticism certain stages of development can cause blocks in the energetic body. So I think that's the thing that would stand out the most is the way that is addressed and emphasized and the way that we're allowed to really explore what we're feeling instead of asking to explain it.
Yeah, exactly. Makes sense. Get out of your analytical mind and just feel the emotion and your thoughts will come out a different way than if you're overanalyzing it.
Right. One of the things we do in the beginning of the session is set an intention. And we're using some meditative techniques as we do this, as we talk about intention and the client sets an intention, possibly one for that session and then one that is farther reaching into whatever they've brought in. And so often, by the end of the session, something completely different has shown up. And we restate the intention at the end. We're asked to revisit it. And it's such a really rewarding moment as a practitioner to hear a client say, you know, in kind of an excited way, even if it's not necessarily happy news, just kind of excitement over, oh, I thought that I was worried about this, that this was my biggest problem. What I've just realized is I have to work on this part of my life or this thought or pattern, or I recognize something that was nowhere close to being present for me. And that's what I find to be the most fulfilling part of the process for both of us, really.
Nice.
Those aha moments.
Oh, yeah. That's very cool. So anything else to say? I'd like to talk a little bit about nutrition because we're both very versed in nutrition. And
I guess I would like to say that this kind of work is really helpful for people who are addressing their nutritional lifestyle, and whether it's because they feel they have some patterns that are unhealthy that they don't know how to deal with because they do seem to be coming from an emotional, mental place. This is really helpful work because we are so closely working with the body itself.
Oh, yeah. And, that makes sense.
So this is actually a kind of nice segue into your nutrition dialogue. Yeah. So go ahead.
Well, very good. So, yeah, just real briefly, because Tracy knows a lot about nutrition. We used to work at Whole Foods together years ago, and I've helped her with some aspects of nutrition, and both of us are athletes. When I say athletes, I don't mean professional. I mean anyone who enjoys being outside. I consider you an athlete, just walking around the neighborhood. And there's a lot I've come across, and you probably have too, Tracy, about a lot of people that are active, don't see the nutrition component. They think they can burn through it and eat too much, drink too much caffeine, alcohol, and too many starches and sugars. And yeah, when you're little, your body might be able to handle that. But as you get older, I've seen joint pain and back pain and just sore muscles. Now, obviously, yoga helps and chiropractic, but if the nutrition foundation isn't there, you're not cushioning your joints and lubricating the joints properly. There can be some health issues there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's interesting what you said about, you know, you can handle it for a while and it seems to not be affecting you when you're eating a diet that this may be a more standard American diet with a lot of carbohydrates and some sugar and caffeine and such. And I used to explain to my nutrition students that your body is kind of like a bathtub, and you could put a hose in there and start pouring in all this stuff, and then you have a drain in your bathtub, and it's doing its best to then use whatever's in there for whatever energy you need, and then the waste goes down through the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over years, as you get older, as you could imagine, the drain might start to get a little clogged if there's nearly some bad stuff going in there, so now it's not draining as effectively.
Yeah.
And the bathtub's starting to fill up. Well, at this point, before you didn't feel any effects of the bad stuff going in because it was going out.
Going out, exactly,
and now it might not be going out as much as it's coming in. So you're starting to feel whatever, like maybe some joint issues, maybe skin issues, maybe belly digestion issues.
Yeah.
So now your bathtub's filling up, and these are kind of your warning signs, these are your red flags, like to start balancing out what's going in and what's going out. And because once that bathtub overflows, you have illness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not that it can't be corrected, because I do believe nutrition is the best way to prevent and cure illness and disease. And but I've given sports nutrition talks. Like I said, I've helped Tracy with some nutrition stuff. And both of us go eat similar. And we both have found that a higher fat diet definitely is healthier than what most athletes are doing. And most people in general, a lot of carbohydrates, probably eating 400 to 500 grams a day. And the people I've helped athletically, you know, if you're an athlete, you're going to need some more carbs than if someone's a couch potato and wants to lose weight. You should cut your, almost go to a ketogenic diet, burning fat exclusively. But most athletes, including myself, I need some more. I need some carbs, but I try to get mine mainly from fruits and vegetables, not starches. And I've seen the difference, especially in, because the key is, yes, starches are okay as an athlete, but they're not going to provide any hydration and no lubrication for the joints and your muscles and ligaments. And that's what fat does. And I think I've told you this, Tracy, the analogy of you all drive a car and consider your engine the protein. And if you don't put a good amount of – if you don't have a good oil, what's going to happen? The protein's going to gunk up. The engine will gunk up. So it's important to eat that healthy fat. You'll see the difference. It takes a while. So I think the best is you will burn through your glucose or carbohydrate, and then you will shift to burning some fat. So it's kind of a halfway between. And you can play with it. Some people can go lower fat, but I think if athletes are burning a lot of calories, you do need carbs, but not the amount people are getting. So you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
I would totally agree with that, both from what I've experienced with people I've helped, but mostly myself. I've always, you know, did my own studies for years and years now, 25 or 30, since college. But what you taught me was probably the most valuable things that I've learned, in the last 10 years. So I didn't really believe in this all or nothing thing. So I did have to kind of experiment, and the more fat I added, the better I felt. I probably eat 70% fat now of all my caloric intake, which sounds pretty extreme for someone who weighs 150 pounds.
I know.
And so most people don't believe me.
Exactly. So I'm the same way.
to let everyone know that it is true. My body fat dropped after I started increasing fat, and then dropped significantly when I got to the highest level of fat. And I feel better. And to kind of go back to that, to the maybe even tying into the whole therapy aspect, emotional, mental bodies, is what I notice most of all, eating the way I do now compared to how I did before, which I used to think was healthy, is I don't have any emotions tied to my eating. I don't do any emotional eating. I don't have cravings. I don't have obsessions with certain foods. I don't deny myself anything I want, because what I want is what I'm eating. That has been freedom. And maybe speaking as a woman, specifically,
big.
Because we historically have had more issues with this.
Yeah, we only have 2 minutes left, so let's wrap it up real quick. I wish we could talk another hour. But no, it's true. If I don't feel the craving, I still have emotions. Who does it? I feel stressed, I feel sad, I feel joy, but it's not attached to food. And I tell my clients, get over that hump, you'll start feeling better, and you won't crave the crap food anymore, and you'll just have a better lifestyle, and you'll feel more confident. And especially for women, it is a big issue there. And some amino acids can help. I can help people if they need more willpower, to some amino acids that help beautifully to stop your cravings for sugar and starches, and also certain amino acids to help you bring up your endorphin levels, because you're lacking them and you're trying to get them through food. So real quick, your website again, and
Dial of Change, tao.com, which is T-A-O of change, or Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, change at gmail.com.
So look up Tracy if you're in that Raleigh-Durham, Chapel area. It's a big area. Tracy's a great person, great friend. I'm so glad you came on the show. And my name again, Greg Gillette, GilletteNutrition.com. I help people with their health to achieve their greatest health possible. And check out my website. And tune in next week. You might be interested, Tracy. Not women's health. Eventually, I'll do women's health. But I'm going to talk about men's health next week. Man, we got to express our emotions better. But we also have to look at our prostate, our energy levels, sexual levels. And I'm going to give you that information to help the modern man. That's the theory. What does the modern man need? Because us men, we need some help, definitely.
And so, great time for me to say one last thing.
Sure. 10 seconds.
As much as I knew and know about nutrition, I will say that Greg has helped me more than anything. Really fine-tune how I feel about my diet, how empowered I feel, what's working for me. So,
thank you so much, Greg, Tracy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again. Tune in next week for Men's Health, and have a wonderful afternoon, and thank you again. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you again for tuning in to the Gillette Nutrition Show. Greg will be back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time for another edition designed to get you back to a better life on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.